and ask for any recommended changes as we walk through.
Good.
Section one, is the organization. The draft critique lists a number of issues, and I will read the statement to you. The council and peer reviewers have generally approved of the overall organization of the draft report and have identified the following issues in presentation. The report is lengthy and tends to be repetitive. The report lacks focus. Some sections provide levels of detail that would benefit program managers, while other sections are presented at a level more appropriate for policymakers. The findings from the evaluation are scattered throughout the report. Issues related to past performance and future data collection are commingled, which creates confusion in comparing past actions and outcomes with planned data collection. Conclusions and recommendations are intermingled with discussions of data limitations and other constraints, and as a result, the conclusions and recommendations are not clear.
And that,
okay. Do we just want to approve these one by one as we go through?
I believe that would be the easiest way to deal with this, yes.
Okay, so we're in section one under organization, issues. Are there any objections to accepting the issue section of section one in the draft critique?
As I read this, this is mostly about not so much the substance of the report, but the format, this particular paragraph or section. Is that an accurate assessment?
Yes. There is a subsequent section that talks about the content.
Okay. Okay.
And if there's anything that maybe we should put in here, but it would be a six-point fully endorsing all of your 5 points, but a six-point to have a summary that specifically enumerates conclusions and recommendations.
An executive summary?
Oops. Yes.
Yes, Mr. Chair, I believe that there are recommendations to do that. Let me double check.
Mm-hmm. On your point three.
Yes, it's down the recommendation section below.
Yes.
Okay.
So do you still need your point six if it's listed in point three?
There is no number six under organization.
I think the chair wanted to add a six.
But if we cover it in a different recommendation, then that's fine. I think that would be redundant.
Okay.
Although chair says executive summary, maybe we can add the word executive summary.
Well, can we move
under
into
three?
When we move into the recommendations?
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps just deal with the issues at this point?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so there's a motion before us under Section 1, Organization, to accept the issues critique as presented. Any objections? Hearing and seeing none.
All right.
Motion carries. All right. Robin, recommendations.
Okay, again,
under Section 1.
Again, this deals with the organization of the report. The first recommendation is to simplify the report, move most of the tables, discussions of methodology, and discussions of data limitations to a separate appendix. This means the final report, excluding the appendix, should not exceed 20 to 30 pages. Target the report to policymakers. This is recommendation number two. The report should include high-level discussion of the programs and issues and summaries of the data and findings. Organize each section in a consistent manner with a summary or findings and recommendations section clearly identified. Clearly separate historical performance data and limitations from recommendations for future data collection and reporting. And was there a suggestion that that we explicitly direct the consultant to provide an executive summary?
Yeah, why don't we add the word executive summary?
I'm suggesting adding a number 5 that says provide an executive summary.
Or just add the word executive under 3 before the word summary.
Well, number 3 actually deals with how each section in the report is organized. So I think if we added a number 5 that says provide an executive summary, that we would get to the chair's issue.
And the specifically directs them to have a recommendation,
okay.
Conclusions and okay. Recommendations.
Okay. With findings and recommendations.
With findings.
Yeah.
Not only that, I think if they do that, it might help them in the organization and articulation of their for the rest of their report.
Okay. So I have a number 5 that says provide an executive summary with findings and recommendations.
Okay. Any other suggestion for recommendations under section 1? Okay. Chair moves that the council accept the recommendation section under the organization portion of the critique. Any discussion? Any objections? Hearing and I am assuming seeing none. Motion is approved. Can you guys hear me all right?
Yeah.
Yeah, very clear.
Okay.
Like you're sitting right here with us, Mr. Chair.
I'd rather be, and you know right where I am, or real close, Senator. I'm in Tumalo, very close to the ID store where you and I picked up one morning at about 5:30.
Well, this sounds interesting.
He gave me a ride. I stayed with some friends.
Oh, sweet.
Okay, Mr. Chair. Section 2, having to do with the content. I'll read you the statement. The contract thoroughly requires the consultant to provide evaluations and recommendations on cost-effective changes in state economic development programs and to recommend performance goals, data collection processes, and performance expectations. These evaluations and recommendations are not addressed consistently and are scattered throughout the report. Issues. The council and peer reviewers have
generally... I would like to make some proposal for changes under content, under this paragraph. Is this the right time to talk about them, Mr. Chair?
Let's get through the whole presentation by staff, and then let's get into the change in it.
Oh, okay.
The council and peer reviewers have generally approved of the overall information in the draft report and have identified the following issues. 1, the study period 1995 to 2001 was a period of change for OECDD. Emphasis shifted from legislatively directed program outcomes to broader general agency discretion on outcomes and greater focus on community development. The consultants need to note these changes and the impact on program evaluation. Number 2, the consultant has done an inadequate job of defining OECDD's economic development programs and correlating the definitions to recommended performance measures and outcomes. This is particularly true for comparisons between programs that do or do not have job creation as a primary goal. The consultant did not recommend a methodology for correcting the lack of job creation data or the methods for analyzing job creation. This includes issues of chain of causality. Number 4, the consultant has not explicitly discussed the cost effectiveness of OECDD and its specific programs or recommended changes to improve cost effectiveness. Number 5, comparisons between Oregon programs and those in other states would benefit from comparative data on those states, such as the economic base, labor force, demographics, and other factors outside of the control of policymakers. And I am recommending a number 6. that says that the consultant has done an inadequate job of validating outcome data for arts, tourism, and film and video programs. And that concludes this section.
Senator Yee, did you want to discuss section two content?
Yes, and issues too. Mr. Chairman, I feel that the draft critique does not address many of the concerns raised by Ferrioli Yee letter nor by the reviewers. One issue under content is whether the methodology used by the contractor meets the terms of the contract. And there is considerable support for this position that the methodology is not adequate to provide a useful evaluation of programs. And I want to quote Hans Rathke, who states, "My conclusion is that because of lack of methodology to analyze job creation, this component of the OECD program cannot be evaluated." Now, if job creation cannot be evaluated, how is the consultant going to evaluate the cost effectiveness of each program and recommend changes? So I'm suggesting some wording changes, and I have faxed to each of you my proposal.
We did not fax this. We don't have fax numbers for where people are, so I
Okay, I have faxed to each council member and you the wording changes. Do you have a copy of it, Mr. Chairman?
Oh,
okay. So I'm suggesting under content, end of first paragraph, replace the sentence "these evaluations" and then end with "throughout the report" with "the methodology is not adequate to evaluate the cost effectiveness of programs and the recommendations are not addressed consistently and are scattered throughout the report." And at the end of the paragraph, I suggest we add "the final recommendation should clearly specify cost-effective changes in programs and administration." This way, it will make it very clear we are concerned, the peer reviewers are concerned that the methodology is not adequate to evaluate the programs, and we need to have adequate methodology and use accurate data. Using accurate data will come in under recommendation, so we can have evaluation of cost effectiveness of the programs, and this is really the purpose of the study.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I've had an opportunity to review Senator Gee's suggestions. I agree with her, just for your information, I agree with her wording changes, except I would probably make the suggestion that the methodology piece is redundant in one and three, that we only need to say it once. So just to give you a general sense of where I'm at.
Well, and I guess my question to both Senator Brown and May, Senator Yee, would be if we have one and three in there, which we obviously already do, doesn't that get at the gist of what you're trying to do? Because what I'm concerned about, May, I fully and wholeheartedly agree with your sentiment and where you're trying to get to. But at this juncture, I think that is a contract issue. And this is a critique of their
report.
And I think you're trying to get over into a contractual issue in we're trying to make sure we do here. I'm not saying that very well.
Mr. Chair, and...
Let me say it real succinctly. Made with one, under issues, with one and three in there, doesn't that overlap into what you're trying to get at here?
Okay, one does not say anything about the methodology.
Three does.
Three does.
But three does.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Mr. Chair, members, I was going to say that I believe that that's what this critique already says. It says
okay.
It more, it's more briefly and it's less critical, but it does basically say that they haven't recommended a methodology. And number one gets at the issue of past data collection versus the other role that they have, which is to make recommendations about future.
So I'm saying that the methodology is not adequate, and Robin is saying they did not recommend a methodology.
Which I believe is another way of basically saying the same thing, that they have discussed the methodological limitations of what they were doing, but they have not come back and recommended how that this should be corrected.
So as to try to move this along and not be an obstructionist here, is there a way, Robin, to incorporate into that last sentence under Section 2 content what you've already functionally enumerated down below under issues? Is there a way to change that sentence?
You mean the introductory sentence?
Yeah, because that's what May's trying to get to.
Right.
Okay.
So if we adopted her number one and number two word changes and the heading, does that sort of state...
I would like to suggest that we say something along the lines of that concerns were raised about the adequacy of the methodology, or words to that effect, rather than making a judgment statement at this point.
Or concerns have been raised.
Yeah, the council and peer reviewers have raised
concerns.
Yeah.
Okay.
What you're wanting is something that's not so conclusory.
Right.
I think that's the word, but.
Yeah.
In the very beginning of the sentence?
As the second sentence, the contract requires them to do the evaluation and make recommendations. The council and peer reviewers have raised concerns or have concerns.
Are you talking about number two?
She's working up here. Have concerns about the...
Oh, up here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The methodology.
She's trying to incorporate your concerns
mm-hmm.
in such a way that they're not stated so factually.
Right.
But stated more factually, you know, recognizing the current situation, but also not being so critical, I think.
So I would suggest the second sentence that says, the council and peer reviewers have concerns about the methodology used by the consultants. The evaluations and recommendations are not addressed consistently and are scattered throughout the report.
Mm-hmm. But at the end of that paragraph, I'm suggesting that we say the final recommendation should clearly specify cost-effective changes in programs and administration.
I don't think that's part of their contractual obligation.
Yes, particularly the administrative piece, but I would argue that that has already been dealt with in number four.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Okay. Number four.
Mm-hmm.
Colton has not specified. Recommended changes to improve cost-effectiveness. Is there some way we could underline this? I mean, I think that's pretty critical.
Yes.
Is there some way we can emphasize this or underline this? Or I don't know. I mean,
Well, there, as you know, there are a number of different directions that the consultant was given in the bill, and that is one of them.
Okay.
And that is one of the things, I mean, the sheer fact that you're stating it here means that this is one of those things.
Okay, that we feel strongly about.
That we feel strongly about.
Okay.
Correct.
So the cost effectiveness side of this very definitely is a contractual obligation.
Right. And to some extent, they have discussed it throughout the draft report, but it is not explicit. And what we are saying is that they need to be much more explicit in how they discuss this issue.
And, you know, one of the areas I think that the consultant, as well as all of us, as well as every member of the legislature, has problems with is we've, you know, changed the mission statement of the agency over the years, where they're now economic and community development.
Right, and the...
And I think they blend and blur some of that.
Correct.
What I'm getting at, is there any way they could separate those two?
Well, your number one actually gets at that. It says the study period was a period of change, and the consultants need to note these changes and the impact on program evaluation. So that issue, we are asking them to be much more explicit about that also.
Okay. I agree.
So under three, let me see. Okay, under two, the consultant has done an inadequate job of defining OECD economic development programs. Okay.
Can I go to a specific May question for May, Mr.
Mm-hmm.
Chair? What about your fifth wording change? Why did you feel strongly about that?
My fifth wording
change. This one right here.
Okay, where are you guys?
I'm working off of, why did you feel strongly about that? I'm on issue number three, and
right.
May has suggested adding language that the consultant chose to use self-reported job creation numbers when the state audit showed the previous self-reported numbers to be overstated.
Well, I'm saying that this number is not verified. When
okay.
It's not verified, how do you analyze the cost effectiveness of programs when you are using numbers that could have been overstated? Because according to the state audit's report, only 3 out of 19 projects' data have verified to be correct. So if you use self-reported job creation numbers, you don't get a reliable analysis of what's happening. You don't know how many jobs are actually created and what actually is the cost per job. So that's why I feel it's important to add under number three at the end, the consultant chose to use self-reported job creation numbers when the state audit showed the previous self-reported numbers to be overstated, and as much as 3 out of 19 times were only correct.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chair, this is Kathy. This is the one area I wanted to throw my 2 cents worth in. Two areas. Robin did a wonderful job on this document. She did a great job pulling this together. I do have concerns in this area. The job creation data and using it at all when we know it's so flawed could mislead a lot of readers. So it's one of those that we know that they don't have access to, at least at this point, to verify the information. And using the self-reported and projected numbers might end up being more misleading than not having anything at all in there.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, if I could speak to that. I think there are two issues here. One is that we hire a consultant based on their expertise, and we ask them to make recommendations to us about the methodology that they're going to use. The legislature doesn't ultimately have to accept the methodology that the consultant recommends, but I think it is not appropriate to tell the consultant what methodology to recommend. The consultant is going to come back with a number of issues that the legislature ultimately is going to have to grapple with. Issues of what you measure, how you validate that data, what you use it for. None of those issues are going to be solved by this consultant's report. It's something that's going to have to go forward to the audit committee or some other mechanism to determine, and that, I believe, is a place where you make the determination as to whether or not you accept the consultant's recommendations on methodology or you direct some other methodology. And there's a couple of issues where this has come up. One is the job creation validation issue. The other is what do you use for return on investment, and we'll get into that later in the recommendation section. But I think that under the terms of the contract, the contractor has a responsibility to come forward and make recommendations and explain why those recommendations are being made. Thereafter, the legislature will need to determine if, in fact, that's something that they wish to use or find acceptable.
Yeah, but Mr. Chairman, this is Mei Yi speaking.
Mm-hmm.
In the consultant's draft report on page 9, they say because of recent changes, they can work with Economic Development Department to get Employment Division data for verification of the employer's jobs impact number. But they chose not to because all they could get is aggregate data and not necessarily project by project numbers. So, but they did say if they work with a company, they can get the project by project impact. So they could do it, but they chose to use numbers given by the recipients. And I think that's not a reliable data. From all the accounting scandals we've heard, that I expect that those numbers could be overstated in order for them to receive hundreds and thousands of grant money. That number needs to be verified, and they could do it with Economic Development Department's cooperation. And we are asking for accurate and reliable number so we can get a accurate analysis of what is the, how cost effective are the programs, whether they are really creating any jobs or not, and what are the numbers so we can decide which program is cost effective, which ones are not, and try to improve upon the good ones and eliminate the non-effective ones. And this is what the purpose of the study is all about. We are going to demand accurate numbers.
Mr. Chair, could I have Kathy Polina respond to what she thinks it should say?
This is where I'm kind of right in between, because I agree that I guess the piece of information that I don't have is how much information is really available at Economic Development and how much they've been collecting. Because my take on it is if they have been capturing the information and the consultant can use that to kind of confirm or validate their conclusions or find out if the conclusions that they made based on the projections are way off, if they could take that information and find major discrepancies, then I would say that we should recommend that they reconsider their conclusions.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
This is Betsy Johnson. Just with this little break, I wanted to tell you I was here.
Oh.
We heard you beep on.
Yeah. Mr.
Well, we knew that was you intrinsically.
Oh,
I knew that was you.
I knew you knew that, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair, members.
Well, go ahead.
There are a couple of issues with the job creation. Again, it's not a simple thing. If you are wanting historical information, you run into the difficulty of confidentiality of Employment Department records. They attempted to deal with that by doing an aggregate, which is not, it is not business specific because of the confidentiality issues. If in fact you are wanting to move forward with validating job creation through the employment department, you can do that starting about a year ago because they modified their contracts to require businesses to allow access to employment department data for future contracts. But what the consultant tried to do was to take the contracts and then somehow correlate that to aggregated employment department data not specific to the function or to the specific business.
Well, Mr. Chairman, if we can get at least 1 year's accurate data, it will help us understand how our programs are doing during the recent year. At least we get some evaluation of all the programs during the recent year. We should get some results because we anticipate our investment should take effect in 6 months, 8 months, 12 months, so we can see the result of the program by some actual numbers instead of just possibly inflated numbers, and we cannot get any good evaluation that way. At least we can get a year's evaluation with good numbers.
Mr.
So,
Chair, I do believe that that is included in the discussion. Again, we do have a recommendation section that maybe we should be talking about because this right now we're talking about issues. But in any case, number four does get to the issue that they haven't explicitly discussed the issue of cost effectiveness, which includes job creation, which in turn includes return on investment and includes those other issues.
Okay.
Do you think we should make it more explicit by including a sentence in there?
Not that may.
It may, as we work through the recommendations,
mm-hmm.
that may give us the answers that we need in terms of the issues.
Okay, let's go through the recommendations then.
Okay.
Okay. I have one more thing I want to talk about, Ben. Under four, the consultant has not explicitly discussed the cost effectiveness of OECDD and its specific programs and administration, because the contract asks for their analysis of the organization and the structure. So if you include administration, that would include one of the requirements to analyze the structure and recommend improvements. So
right.
I would like to add the word administration after specific programs.
And administration?
Mm-hmm.
Is that acceptable?
See how efficient.
It's specific programs, comma, administration, comma, or recommended changes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you're proposing, May?
Right.
Okay.
Do you want a response from the committee, Mr. Chair?
I just, by consensus, I don't see any problems with that.
Good.
Okay, the sentence will read, the consultant has not explicitly discussed the cost effectiveness of OECDD and its specific programs and administration, comma, or recommended changes to improve cost effectiveness.
Mm-hmm.
Correct. Okay, now let's move on down to the recommendation section, and I think, May, this also gets to your word addition in four here. Robin?
Okay.
Under three.
Can I be really picky here and
mm-hmm.
recommend a grammatical change on that sentence?
All right.
If you're going to add in administration, doesn't it make more sense to say the consultant has not explicitly discussed the cost effectiveness of OECDD, its administration, and specific programs?
Sure.
Or recommended changes to improve cost effectiveness. Sorry, gang, I couldn't stand
this. Oh, my
goodness. Sounds good to me.
Okay, I got it. It's administration and specific programs.
Or recommended.
Got or it. Recommended.
Got it. Yeah.
All right, moving on to recommendations.
We'll come back to the consultant chose to use.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. The consultant needs to provide specific findings and recommendations that the legislature can use as a basis for revising OECDD programs, outcomes, and mission. The consultant needs to make specific recommendations on how best to measure the future performance of specific programs and of OECDD overall. This includes assessing the utility of the performance measurement plan adopted by OECDD and the methodology used in other states. The following are some questions that should be addressed. Should programs in other states be used as a point of comparison for OECDD programs? Should other outcome measures be used, and if so, why? What methodology should be used for calculating return on investment and why? Comparison with other states, value to the state of Oregon, etc. What methodology should be used for verifying past job creation data and why? Understanding that future job creation data will be verified through Employment Department data given the confidentiality waivers signed by recipients of OECDD funds. Number two, the consultant needs to summarize the findings for specific programs and discuss the implications of deviations from comparative data. Program wage data comparisons should include comparisons of average wages in Oregon and the comparative states. The consultant should recommend outcome measures for regional and rural programs based on best practices in other states. The consultant should recommend a mission statement and goals and objectives for OECDD based on best practices in other states. The consultant should review reported outcome data for arts, tourism, and film and video programs and should recommend methodology for collecting and reporting this data.
Okay, because that's part of your amended changes.
Number six is a recommended amendment, yes.
Right. Okay. All right, comments and critiques.
Mr. Chairman, I have faxed to you my proposed recommendations under recommendations. One is the cost per job data should be reported based on the state employment data. The actual number of jobs created can be obtained by OECDD for the consultant and should be used in the analysis. I want to remind you the Hans Ratke, the peer reviewer, said in his review, using employment data provided by grantees that cannot be verified is not very useful. And Bayer says in his review that a reviewer has to take the contractor's computation at face value. The structuring of program elements and allocation of costs is questionable. So we need to use accurate and reliable and verified data. And number two of my recommendation is the contract calls for calculation of return on investment. And this should be calculated and reported using the OECDD definition in each program. And Bayer says in his review under point A and in the next to the last paragraph of his review that the contractor has not calculated return on investment correctly and that OECDD's method is more appropriate. And number three is two peer reviewers find the attribution of all tourism expenditure to the efforts of the Oregon Tourism Commission to be questionable at best. Either defend the attribution or find a more plausible way to evaluate the effect of this expenditure. And I want to call your attention to what Retti says in his review on page 3. Tourism on page 39, the report quotes the Oregon Tourism Commission creating $6.1 billion in travel expenditures, resulting from $3.1 million of state funds invested in tourism marketing and promotion. Every dollar spent on advertising, quote, generated $114 in travel expenditure and $5 in state tax revenues, unquote. Redke questions any of these results. If this means that an additional $6.1 million of travel expenditure can generate about $4 billion in additional personal income and perhaps 125,000 additional jobs at about $30,000 per annual job, then this is a very effective program. About $25 spent on each additional job created in Oregon. Either this is very successful or the numbers are bogus. So I'm saying that we need to have them explain to us how do they get to the conclusion that this much $6.1 billion can be resulted from $3.1 million of state funds, or they need to find a better way to evaluate the effect of this tourism expenditure. So, Mr. Chairman, these are my 3 recommendations to be added to Robin's recommendations.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the issue that Senator Yee was just discussing is the reason that I've added the number 6 under issues and recommendations.
Right. Hello?
I can hear you, Ben.
Okay. Yes, we can hear you.
Okay.
I see that. So that would take care of number 3.
Yes, and again, I would suggest that the council not direct the consultant on how they should report the methodology that they should use, and that is why the critique is asking for them to address these specific questions that are in here, which is, you know, how should this data be collected and verified?
Leaving that as their purview, that's why we hired them.
Correct.
They come up with a methodology, that's their methodology. We might not like it.
Correct.
But that's how the people that we hired to do the job chose to do it, which is within their purview. Is that the basic gist of that?
Yes. We ask them to develop the methodology, and they need to explain more succinctly why they have recommended the methodology that they have.
Mr. Chairman, explain their methodology and regarding the issue of verification in their report on page 9. But they chose to use self-reported number, and we need to tell them our concern that this has proven to be inaccurate. They need to come back and tell us why they're not using verified number. Why did they choose to use self-reported number, especially when the state audit said that only 3 out of 19 self-reported numbers are accurate? We don't get a good
analysis. I think
analysis.
We should have answered that question, May. I think that's very legitimate.
Mr. Chair, members, with all due respect, they did answer that
oh,
question.
Okay.
The access to employment, historical employment department data is restricted because of confidentiality laws. Neither the consultant nor OECDD has access to business-specific data without an agreement on the part of each individual business. They attempted to get at that through aggregated data, and they explained that. But whether or not that is the appropriate future methodology is another question. Who just joined us?
Hello, this is State Senator Tip Farioli, and sorry I'm so late joining you. The rural forum ran longer than we anticipated, so I'm just joining you now.
Thank you.
Well, welcome aboard. Thank you. I think everybody's here except Simmons.
Great.
Hey, considering the council meetings that Robin, May, and I have been attended, this is standing room only.
But going back to the question of using verified employment data and not just use self-reported employers' data, well, I know since a year ago they were able to get the verification through OECDD, and they are saying they only get the aggregate data and not the project by project numbers. But even the aggregate numbers, we need to know so at least they can show a comparison that this is the employment's aggregate data, this is the employer's aggregate data. And let's see if there is a difference so they can use that to adjust the self-reported number and not just use it at face value. They need to adjust it so they can give us a more accurate analysis. And don't just say we cannot get it project by project, we only can get it by aggregate number. Let's show it. Let's see. Make a comparison.
Mr. Chair, I'm trying to figure out what I can do to facilitate this. Would it help if we had the council basically take number one of the recommendations and see if that is adequate and then move on?
Take number one of the recommendations?
Right. Which is the consultant needs to make specific recommendations on how best to measure the future performance of specific programs and of OECDD overall. This includes assessing the utility of the performance measurement plan adopted by OECDD and the methodology used in other states, and then there are the series of questions.
Are you okay with that one? Are you okay with that one?
Well, I like to discuss my three recommendations and put it in as 1, 2, 3 and adjust these to 4, 5, 6 because these are critical issues that they use reliable data.
Mr. Chair, this is Kathy again. Just wanted to see if I can maybe help interpret this a little bit. What I'm hearing from Senator Yee is that by using those projected information, we feel that might be some misleading information because we know that there's problems with the data and that the actuals haven't borne out. And is there a way we can recommend to the consultant that they consider whether using this information is misleading and reconsider that unless they can reasonably verify the information?
Where, Kathy, would they then go get the verifiable data based on the confidentiality of employment data with employers?
Well, I would recommend that they look at the current information that economic development is capturing. And I guess my concern is that there are a lot of figures in the report reporting cost per job, and I have a lot of qualms about the information itself. You know, understanding where it's coming from, you know, it looks like a lot of conclusion and a lot of information on the cost effectiveness of the programs, and I think it's very misleading. But again, Robin, I understand your points on, you know, that's the methodology they chose and we hired them. So, I'm not sure where we stand as far as being able to give them recommendations back on, consider whether this is, you know, knowing how good this information, whether it's meeting the needs that we have.
Well, or is this maybe some middle ground where we acknowledge that they have met the contractual obligation in choosing a methodology, good or bad as we may feel it is.
Right.
But could we ask them, and this is an ask, you know, it's not a command, and I don't know how we do the language here, could we ask them to look at the aggregate data that OEDD has?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I believe they have done so. I think what Kathy Polino is suggesting is that we ask them perhaps to do a correlation between the historical data and whatever current data that OECDD may have. And I am concerned, given the potential cost of doing that, whether or not we are not, in fact, amending the contract. So, you know, we're asking them to do something above and beyond what they were originally asked to do. So I would be hesitant at this point. I would suggest that the council has the ability to accept or reject the data that the consultant brings forward, and that it may be that that is something that needs to be done next interim, is to follow up with some more current data to see whether or not there is a correlation or not. But within the scope of the existing contract, I think we are, potentially asking them to do something that is significantly outside the scope.
Well, and, you know, the purpose of this whole effort and endeavor is to make economic development better. And if all of a sudden, you know, we're bouncing up against a wall trying to get at a very fundamental question because of the structure or the practice of records data keeping on job creation, then of and by itself, we statutorily can direct the department to change their methodology in how they are tracking job creation.
That's correct.
And in and of itself, that's a benefit of our efforts because we're finding a hole in how we can track and measure what we're really trying to get at. Am I missing the point here?
Mr. Chairman, the requirement of the study is that they measure the jobs created. See, this is under Chapter 947.
The requirement is that they choose a methodology to measure job creation.
Yeah, but their methodology is not using accurate data. This seems to be a common requirement that you use accurate data and not just use self-reported, proven to be overstated data. So what kind of information do we get? We get information that's misleading. So why do we want to do a study? Do a study to give us misleading information? We need to tell them as much as possible, use accurate data, because since a year ago, the employers are signing waivers to allow information to be obtained by Economic Development Department for the purpose of verifying accurate numbers. So they can get it, and why do we allow them to give us misleading conclusions?
Mr. Chair, with all due respect, we ask them to look backwards, not look forwards. And they have looked backwards, and they have provided the methodology that they used for looking backwards. The legislature can choose not to accept what those findings are, but they have provided the methodology, and they have provided the report based on that methodology. And that methodology, you can argue whether or not it is valid, or that the outcomes are valid, but they have done what they were asked to do.
But they can't purposely use an accurate number and give us flawed conclusion.
But there's no other data, right?
That's correct.
That's the problem.
Things a year ago, they can have good data.
Right,
so at least give us a year's analysis.
Senator Yee, this is Betsy. Maybe this is a question better put to Robin. Robin, is there a chance for them to take the year's worth of good data that they have and at least take a look at it and draw any conclusions?
Well, that's my concern is that they have already submitted their draft report. It seems to me that that is an amendment. I would have to double check with counsel, but that it seems to me that that is an additional requirement that is being added to this contract, which means that if we are going to ask them to do that, we are going to have to pay them for doing
that. Well, excuse me for thinking a little bit like a private sector guy, but when there are contracts that don't reach a satisfactory conclusion, I have seen negotiated settlements where one side gives up a little, the other gives up a little, and they add an addendum to their final report without looking for additional compensation to try to bring a contentious issue to closure. And we don't do a contract amendment and all the rest of that. In an attempt to keep the customer happy, they just offer up a prospective look at the new data that they have with the numbers that satisfy Senator Yee.
I do believe, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, that it would be somewhat time-consuming to do that. So that's the concern that I raise. It's not that the data is just sitting there, you know, waiting to be compiled. So, I mean, it would be a matter of taking each individual contract and then, you know, accessing that.
Okay,
data.
Well, maybe I'm simplifying it too much then.
That I just raise that concern because I think that there would be significant amount of work involved in doing that, and I would argue that this is something that is highly appropriate for the next legislative session to direct be done. That is, that you have gotten preliminary data. You may be concerned about it. You may be concerned about the adequacy of it, that there may need to be a second step, but that I'm not sure that this is something that should be added to this contract at this time.
Robin, do you know, this is Kathy again, do you know on the data that economic development has captured so far, I've heard it said that it's in the aggregate. Does that mean by program in the aggregate, project?
I haven't looked at it, so I couldn't answer that.
Because if they have those aggregate numbers by program, you know, and you would have the dollar cost that went into it, if they already have the information, it may not be that difficult to get a program cost per job created. But again, that depends on how it's captured. If it's overall total, that I agree with you.
Yes, and I don't know how it's captured. And again, I started out by saying I think the consultant has raised a number of very significant issues as part of their draft report that this council needs to be thinking about longer term and moving towards, you know, a further iteration of this process in terms of, you know, what they recommend and then what the legislature may want to move forward with. And I'm not sure that this contract at this point in time is where those issues ought to be resolved.
Try to move this process forward and be two places at once when I think at the end of the day we'll probably end up being nowhere at all. Robin, do you see a
an issue or a problem within addition to their the methodology they have chosen, flawed as it may be, in asking them as an ask to get that aggregate data, and if it's broken down by program area, we can easily see, you know, how much money we have allocated per program area.
The problem is the aggregation is by employer, not by program. So the aggregate data would be all of the jobs created within a time frame for a certain, you know, industrial code or something. That's how the aggregate, I mean, I don't know specifically how it's aggregated, but that's the kind of aggregation it would be.
So you're meaning like Nike had 100 jobs created between this period and this period, but we don't know if it's due to
a specific contract
program.
Yes, that anybody had.
It says in the...
And I think further what I hear Robin saying is it would be broken down into SICs, and we'd have no idea not only if that job creation was as a direct result of an OEDD dollar or a private investment dollar or a combination thereof,
yes,
and what program it came out of.
Correct.
But, Mr. Chairman, they also said in their narrative that they can discuss this with the employer and get an estimate on what the program job creation is. You know, they can get the aggregate data, and by an estimate from the employer, they can get the program's result from economic development investment. But they need to talk to the employer to get that estimate. I mean, I don't see why we want to spend $72,000 and get misleading information.
Well, the problem with that, Meg, is that's not the methodology they chose to employ. They chose to employ within the confines of the contract a certain methodology. Regrettably, they didn't choose that methodology. So to go back and say, no, do it this way, when they have specifically met the conditions of the contract, is, with arguably, I agree with you, produce better data, but is not their obligation to do such.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I'm not sure it's an issue of so much of they chose one methodology over another. I think it's fairly clear that they chose what was available to them at the time, and that the newer data was not yet extensive enough.
Correct.
For them to be useful. I can read that there's a paragraph, Senator Yee's outlined a paragraph. I don't know if you want me to read it, but I think from their perspective, they did what they could with the information that they had, and that this practice of relying on estimates provided by assisted companies is a commonly accepted practice in most states.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, that just underscores what we're saying, the same thing, is that they have met the conditions of the contract. I mean, is that how you read it, Kate?
I'd have to look at the specific contract language, but I think the problem, I don't disagree with where Senator Yee is trying to go.
Yeah, I agree too.
I don't think that information is available in a significant amount of numbers that would make analysis of it statistically significant or helpful.
Correct. You're saying what I tried to say in a clearer way, that this, if in fact the data that's reported here is of concern, there is a mechanism available to the legislature in the future to deal with it. I mean, because we recognized the problem and started to correct it through the contractual process, but there wouldn't be significant data available at this point for contracts that were signed 6 months ago.
Okay.
Well, then, Mr. Chairman, they need to acknowledge this shortcoming in the methodology, not being able to use verified data. The number of jobs created, the cost, the wage level are all flawed. They need to acknowledge that.
Mr. Chair, members, again, that is methodology that is used by a number of other states. Oregon may choose not to do that, and in the future we'll have the availability of data so that they don't do that. But as of now, they used the data that was available to them.
I think Maryland used actual verified data in their report.
Okay.
So at least they should acknowledge that the methodology is based on unverified data, and
which they have done.
Mm-hmm.
I think
they do acknowledge that.
Yes, they talk about the limitations on the data.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the results could be skewed because of this.
Okay. Nay, I've got to tell you, I agree with you 110% and in spades. Now, having said that, we need to move this process along. I think we've talked this to the point where we all understand that the consultant is meeting the conditions of the contract. They have chosen a specific methodology that may, and in fact probably will, result in some, I don't want to say bad recommendations, but less than accurate findings, which they are acknowledging that they are using, you know, standards and best practices employed by other states. Well, I don't see a way around this.
Mr. Chair, could I make a recommendation?
Sure.
The committee is going to have another meeting at which they are going to be discussing the recommendations coming out of this process. It seems to me like that the committee may want to be considering what kinds of future recommendations it may want to make in terms of either legislation or direction to the audit committee, and that this could be one of those specific recommendations that could be made in terms of how you collect and report future data.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Let's include that.
So, Mr. Chair,
how about my recommendation number 2 that calls for calculation of return on investment? And this should be calculated using OECD's definition in each program.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, that is under recommendation 1C, which says what methodology should be used for calculating return on investment and why. And then parenthetically, comparison with other states, value to the state of Oregon, et cetera.
Where was that, Robbie?
That's under recommendation 1C.
Okay. Do you see a difference in that, May, from what you're asking for in your number 2?
Well, what I'm saying is I don't see any value in return on investment leverage with private sector investment and public sector investment. What we want to know is what do we get in return for Oregon State's investment? What kind of value is it to the state? What is the taxpayers getting back in return on investment? How much private leverage we get doesn't mean anything to me. But what I want to know is, what is this doing for Oregon? How many jobs is it going to create, which is the purpose of the department? How many jobs it creates? What kind of wage level is it going to bring? What does it cost us per job? And what do we get in return? In a time of recession, we want to know which investment brings us the fastest return for our dollar. If one investment brings us jobs back in 3 years, and the other one can bring jobs in 6 months with less cost, we definitely will go to the faster one with less cost. So we want to know, what is the return on investment? This change of definition to what kind of private investment money, what kind of public investment money brings, doesn't tell us anything.
I think that's what Robin has absolutely nailed right here in 1C. They're asking us, how should we measure?
What is 1C?
Right here. Again, with Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the consultants explained why they used the methodology that they did use, which is so that comparisons could be made between Oregon programs and programs in other states. This is a question about what future methodology should be used and why. And whether or not it is useful to continue to compare Oregon programs to similar programs in other states, or whether you would have better data if you used a different methodology. Again, it is a request that the consultant justify the methodology, which is what the consultant was paid to select.
Your point C here, that's prospective,
mm-hmm.
right, Robin?
Mm-hmm.
That's what we should do in the future.
Correct.
Yeah, I think that's a big part of this whole report and project.
Yeah, but Mr. Chairman, the purpose of the study is for them, you know, under the contract, that the purpose of the study is for them to measure each program, what is the result, how many jobs, what's the cost, what is wage level, and what is the return on investment. It's all under the requirement of the study that they give it to us for each program. They didn't give it to us.
I think the problem is, May,
mm-hmm.
well, we maybe didn't get the information we specifically wanted,
mm-hmm.
but now at least we know what we will need to get from in the future. So we wanted specific information about how many jobs were created.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, that information is not being collected. If nothing else, what this study gives us is an ability to figure out what kind of questions and what kind of data needs to be collected in the future so we can analyze better how the department is doing. That makes sense?
Yeah, but they shouldn't change the definition of the return on investment. At least we should have some idea what is the return on investment in each program.
And Mr. Chair, members
they
of the committee,
they changed the definition.
They did provide that data. They used a national model, which is the leveraging of funds. And if in fact the legislature doesn't find that comparison useful, then they can move forward. But the consultant has provided that. I mean, I'm just, you know, looking at table 6.1, comparison between OECD and other state economic development agencies. And it's on page 50. I mean, I just selected, you know,
okay.
one at
okay.
random. That
okay.
they were able to make the comparison between capital investment leverage because they used that methodology
to collect the data. They couldn't use an Oregon-specific methodology because then you wouldn't have any basis for comparison.
You had to compare apples and apples, not apples and oranges.
Correct.
All right.
Well,
guys, I've got a whole room full of people waiting for me since 3 o'clock. I know there's some concern on some parts about the completeness of their draft report. I think the proposal from LFO as the changes we've incorporated from May and what we've done kind of by consensus, primarily the administration word, Robin's bullet point number 6 under section 2 issues, gets us about as far down the road as we're going to get at this juncture. So without talking, and the executive summary language we put under section 1 recommendations, new bullet point 5, I don't see any other changes we can make to this that is functionally going to get us more data under the terms of the contract, more useful data than what we've got right here in front of us already gets us.
Can I hear from Representative Johnson and Senator Farioli? Get their input?
Yes, this is Tess. I met with the folks from LFO, and I went over the letter that I and Senator Yee had authored item by item. And I asked them specifically to address as many of the points that we had raised in our letter as they could in their exception letter to the contractor. And subsequently, I asked them to contact Senator Yee, since I'd been there in the room for the discussion, so that they could connect the specific objections that I and Senator Yee had raised to the specific requirements they were making of the contractor in their exception letter. And I thought they did a pretty good job of capturing our issues about methodology and comparison and requiring the contractor to cure those deficiencies before the contractor is paid. The LFO explained to me that under the terms of the contract, they can make those specific requests in the final draft, but they have no authority to withhold payment from the contractor once the final report's done. So I'm forced to accept the compromise, which is, I would say 95% of the objections that Senator Yee and I raised found expression in the exception letter written by LFO. And the contractor will cure those deficiencies and do the final report, and then the contractor will be paid. And I agree with Senator Yee that we still do not have a good mechanism for connecting the cost-benefit ratio. What did we get, you know, versus what we invested? But the problem, I think, is a methodological problem more than any other thing. And we may need to look at administrative rule changes in reporting in the next legislative session to cure that problem. But I don't think you cure it by forcing the contractor to compare apples and oranges. So I got to tell you that I think that Ben has essentially apprehended the issue, and that is that I think we've gotten LFO to incorporate as many of the issues and concerns that Senator Yee and I raised as possible. Those have been communicated to the contractor. Contractors agreed to cure them. We're going to get a final report that gets us 95% of what we need to have in order to get recommendations that are implementable. And so I got to tell you, I think we did as much as we can do in the time frame that we have to work with.
So, sure. Can I sort of summarize?
Do it.
As long as they respond to the concerns in the that we would withhold payment until they respond to the concerns that we've addressed in this letter that Robin has prepared, and that we would not pay them then until they
address these issues.
Can I clarify? legislative fiscal officer is responsible for ensuring that the contractor deals with the critique. This is a critique from the
right.
council, not
right.
from LFO.
Right.
But the legislative fiscal officer will ensure that the contractor deals with the issues and recommendations raised in your critique before final payment is made.
Okay. No.
Let's hear from Representative Johnson.
Well, I was quite pleased to see the tenacity with which Senator Yee pursued getting a good product, a $75,000 product, which is what we had contemplated when this endeavor was undertaken. Senator Farioli's very succinct summary of his and Senator Yee's efforts to work with LFO producing a compromise is pretty persuasive. But I'm quite sympathetic to the issues that Senator Yee has raised, and I'm not sure for our investment that we have gotten answers to the questions that we wanted, and that's precisely the point that I think Senator Yee has been raising right straight along. If Senator Farioli is satisfied that the essence of their complaint, their being Senator Yee and his complaints, were addressed in the LFO letter, and if Senator Yee is okay with that, then I can probably be supportive. But I have watched with admiration as Senator Yee has gone after trying to get a quality product.
Okay.
Thank you. I have a question, Mr. Chairman. You see, according to the payment schedule, you're supposed to pay them November 1, and the final report doesn't come to November 7th, and we don't meet until November 20th.
Are you going
to pay them on November 1st?
No. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, payment was made through the presentation of the final draft. There will be no future payments made until the final report is submitted. And then it will be the responsibility of the legislative fiscal officer to determine if the final report meets the is responsive to the critique provided by the council and meets the final requirements of the contract, and then final payment will be made. But the payment schedule was amended some time ago.
Okay, guys, I'm keeping a whole room full of people waiting. The chair is moving. I'm not trying to rush this, but the chair moved the LFO draft critique as we have agreed to the various amendments. If you want to keep talking about it, I'm getting off the phone. I'll get back on.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, are we forwarding the peer reviewers' reviews and Senator Farioli and my letter together with the critique, and Kathy Polino's comments,
Mr. Chair, members
with
of
the critique?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the critique was transmitted to the consultant at the time it was delivered. They have received, the peer review material was delivered at the time that it was received.
Mm-hmm. What about the letters from council members?
Those letters dealt with drafting of the critique from the council to the consultant and therefore were not transmitted and probably do not need to be, because what the consultant needs to be focusing on is what the council is telling them to do, which is this critique.
See, I have written two letters before.
I think the chair needs to go.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Chair, what do you wish to do? How do you wish to proceed at this point in terms of wrapping
Excuse me?
Up? Pardon? Did we lose them already?
Mr. Chair, did you make a motion?
Yes, there's a motion before us.
And that is to adopt the critique as amended.
Correct. Any discussion? Nay.
Is there concerns going to be expressed about the inaccuracy of the data and the change of definition on return on investment?
I think the consultant has already acknowledged some concern about the data.
What methodology should be used for calculating?
calculating return on investment and why.
Mm-hmm.
And
Mr. Chair, do you would you like the a roll call on your motion?
Only if there's any objectors.
I'm not sure that Senator Yee's question was completely answered. Maeve, did you get an answer to your question?
So is this letter going to be forwarded?
I can do that.
Okay, the letter is going to be forwarded.
Great.
Any other discussion on the motion?
And together with my memos of August 15th and September 6th.
If you will get me copies of them, I will forward them to
you. Yes, I would appreciate it because I'm one of the chief sponsors, and I have a lot of concerns with our department.
If it is the wish of the council, I will forward those memos mm-hmm. to...
I believe it is the wish of the council.
So, Senator Yee, if you would get me copies of them, I will see to it that the consultant receives them.
So, with your amendments to the council critique letter, can you live with that, knowing that your letter and your concerns are going to the... evaluator.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a mm-hmm or is it a yes?
I'm not happy.
You can give a tentative yes, May. I mean, that's okay.
I'm not happy with the critique. I don't feel it's strong enough, but given all the explanations that was given, and if you're not going to pay them until we are satisfied with the final draft.
With all due respect, Senator Yee, that is the decision on what when payment will be made by the contractor, which is the legislative fiscal officer.
Mm-hmm.
That is not
a decision. It will take a great deal of input from the council.
That's correct.
And that will not happen until the final draft.
That's correct. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess I'm a yes with reservation.
Okay. I'll be a yes with reservation with Senator Yee.
And I'll join those two by being a yes with reservation.
And I'll be a yes with reservations with whipped cream.
Okay.
With what?
Whipped cream and a cherry on top.
And that's more information than we need.
But, I mean, you know, May's right. Bottom line is, I mean, I think we all have a great deal of empathy.
And thanks
and gratitude for May as to what she's trying to do here. And then we're looking at the legislation. We're looking at the contractual obligations. And this, I mean, very sincerely, May, just doing this is finding major holes in the department in how we measure and evaluate some very important performance. So thank you. I mean that very sincerely.
Did we, Mr. Chair, did we have an indication from Senator Farrioli? I don't know that I heard.
I think Senator Farrioli is the only one we haven't heard from.
I thought the motion was without objection.
Oh, okay.
And I have none.
Very
okay.
Well, thank you.
See, no other business to come before the committee unless someone else wants to continue to talk. I am adjourning the council and compliment everyone for their input and involvement. I think we did as good a job as we can do, guys.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Goodbye.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ben.
Thank you, Meg.
I want to visit Tumalo sometimes. Okay.
Thank you.